Morning, folks. My name's Jim, for those who don't know me. And this is a great day because it's World Focus Sunday. And so I'm pleased, first of all, to welcome back Andy. I get the privilege of being the one to welcome Andy to his own church. So come on up. And I thought I'd ask him a really hard question. I thought I'd ask him something in Latin. Just to see what he's made of. So I have to ask you, Andy, what is Missio Dei? It sounds like Latin to me. Can you tell us in English, please?
Yeah, I did Latin at my comprehensive school, so. No, I didn't. Missio Dei, it's a phrase that is a descriptive word about the mission of God. And I was thinking about how I could explain it to you, and I came across a video that would do it really well, much better than me. So I thought we could watch this video, and then I'll make a couple of comments after it. So I might need to move just so you can see it.
Missio Dei, the mission of God. It is here, it is now, and it is moving. This is more than a story or a rehearsal. This isn't lip service. It is about living God's mission today. The mission of God's intimate relationship with all of creation, expressed through the life of Christ. It's an invitation to embrace God's unfolding vision that Christ made living. It's been here from the beginning. Missio Dei is a moving mission of discovery and healing and hope. An agenda of significance for all who answer yes to the call to serve. Every encounter with God is an opportunity for exploration and growth. Missio Dei is living the message with the community. Every aspect of it. Embracing the world around us. Our home, work, neighborhood, church, school, park, street corner, grocery store, phone call, bus ride, everything. The hope of wholeness is a promise, but we must look outside our doors. God is outward moving. It is expanding, growing, and connecting. In a separated world, that constant relational impulse of Christ's mission creates connectedness and hope. Missio Dei. God's love is enduring and persistent, drawing us together through the Holy Spirit. Through the living body of Christ, we become one. Missio Dei. God's vision, Christ's mission. The Word must become flesh.
So for us, the way that we've been trying to express that is with a little phrase that some of you may recognize, which is about us being family on mission. And sometimes when we talk about mission, we can have this mentality that mission is something we do. We have a week of mission, and there's nothing wrong with weeks of mission, but actually mission is actually lifestyle. And so as we live our lives as disciples of Jesus, then fundamental to that lifestyle is the fact that we are on mission. And that's really what it's about.
Fantastic, Andy. So brilliant. Thanks for coming in for that introduction. And we're going to get Tony up now. Where's Tony? Here he is, right. Come and have a seat, Tony. Now, I think you and I all know that Tony is a champion, which is great. But he's a particular sort of a champion. He's a world-focused champion, and I want to ask you just now, Tony, if you tell us, what is that? What does a world-focused champion do?
Okay, thanks, Jim. It's great. It sounds like I've won something, doesn't it? I am a champion. In this context, very much, it's about championing a mission partner or mission partners. So in my case and Brenda's case, we're the champions for Alan and Lorna. And I think the key word I would use in this context is maybe link, to be a link. So particularly while Alan and Lorna were away in Thailand, we could act as a link between them and the church. We could connect with them, get reports from them, and bring them back to the World Focus Prayer Group and also to the church as a whole. So in essence, that's what a champion does.
Fantastic. So how did you come to be in this role? Are you a sort of global superstar? Or you've traveled every country? Or how do you get into this?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was trying to remember exactly when this how this happened. But I think for Brenda and I, it was probably about 2 years ago, and I think Alan and Lorna approached us and asked us if we would be considered being their champions. Many of you will know Anne Naylor. So Anne used to provide that role for Alan and Lorna, but because she and Richard were worshipping at St. Peter's at the Cross at the moment, she didn't feel that she could carry on realistically doing that for HBC. So a vacancy appeared, for want of better expression. For us, it was interesting. We are world globetrotters, as you know, and we had not long before that been out to Thailand because Laura was working out there, so we went to visit Laura in Thailand, and then as part of that, we were able to go and spend Christmas with Alan and Lorna. So for us, that kind of affirmed that God was calling us into this role, really, the request coming after that. But I would stress that you don't have to have visited your mission partners in their field of work necessarily to be their champion.
That's great. And you mentioned that there's a World Focus prayer group. What's that? And do you have to go to that?
I love to go to it. So it's not a have to, it's a love to, really. So the World Focus Prayer Group is what it says, really. It's a prayer meeting. First and foremost, it's drink coffee and eat cake and then pray, which is great. It's at the moment it's often held at Jim and Gail's house. And it's where the champions come together, really. And we wait, what we do is we wait on the Lord a little bit to hear if he has any revelation for us, and then we will bring reports from the different mission partners and pray for them in turn, really. And at the end, we might there's a WhatsApp group which really allows us to connect with the mission partners, or most of them anyway, and share encouragements with them sort of from those meetings as well. So it's good.
That's great. And do you have to be a champion to go to that? Do you have to know a lot about World Mission? And I mean, what if I'm a new Christian and I can't pray out loud yet, or not tried that before, would I be allowed to come?
Absolutely, you'd be allowed to come. At least I think so. You can answer that better than I can, Jim. But I think you'd let people in that situation. I think it's a very safe place, really. And I think it would be a great place for people who are sort of beginning their faith journey. I think it's a place where you can sort of learn something about God's heart for the world as a whole. It's somewhere where you can learn to wait on the Lord. It's a place where you can start to learn to pray. Very targeted and specific prayers for people in the field. So, yeah.
That's brilliant. And as you've been involved in this, do you feel like your own faith's grown, your sense of mission, as we've been hearing, has changed in this?
That's a great question. I think so. Yes, I think so. Brenda and I don't feel, at this time at least, we don't feel called to foreign climes. At least that's my thinking. I think that's Brenda's thinking as well. I would say that my perspective on God's love for the world as a whole has broadened and deepened as a result of that. I think it's challenged my faith in places as well. One thing that I reflected on was the fact that I find it difficult to carry an equal passion for every nation in this world and the peoples of every nation in this world. That's not to say I don't feel that God calls his love is equal for everybody, but for me it's I've got more experience in Asia. I've never been to Africa, so for example. So
not yet.
Not yet. Okay. So I find it. Okay. God's starting to hint. Okay. So having travelled a bit in Asia, it's easier for me to have a heart for Asian peoples, I guess. But what I know is that the World Focus Group as a whole has people who care for Africa very much and understand Africa. So I can understand Asia a bit more, maybe, and other people in non-Saharan Africa, and other nations, obviously, of the world as well.
That's great. And what we're going to do just in a minute is see who our world partners are, our mission partners around the world. We've got a little presentation just to remind you. Who can remember? Let's just call out. Who are our global partners? Who are the most recently sent out ones? To Ali and Beth London. Yes, yeah, sent out just both since Christmas. So this is a really very dynamic, lively process that we're in here. Who are the other partners? Anyone remember? So Beth and Outerdijk, Kevin and Emma, Pete, my son, Ben and Lucy, and me, traveling partner. That's it. Okay, so let's get that presentation on so you can see the faces. We'll just be quiet while this slides through. Thanks very much. And one of the things I'll say is I'm really proud that as a church, we have partners serving in some of the most cutting-edge situations in mission. We have people in some of the toughest countries where Jesus isn't known at all, where it may be that you're persecuted if you do become a follower of Jesus, and some who are in some of the most devastatingly poor and troubled and war-torn situations of the world. So we have some really great and brave partners, and Tony and I and the team and others who are coming into the World Focus time, and you're all really welcome to that, really have a privilege to support these people. So now I'm going to hand over to you, Tony, because you know Alan and Lorna best, and you're on now.
Great, thank you very much. So we'd like to invite Alan and Lorna to come up and join us, so do come and join us. I'm going to suggest I sit in the middle, actually, if that's all right, of the two of you. I'll move those. You get the comfy seat. These are very good as well. These are very good as well, Ian, these. They're just a little bit snugger. Are you all right?
Sorry, I can't get this chair under control.
She needs some more training. Great. Okay, so great to have you with us, Alan and Lorna. So thanks for being here. I'm going to start with you, Alan, if that's all right. Yeah? Could you just kick off by telling us what you've been up to in Thailand?
Hi, I've been working for OMF in their office in Chiang Mai, doing finance and business advice.
Okay, thank you. So finance and business advice, that sounds a bit heavy. So can you tell us why OMF needs a finance, what the finance team?
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, it's a good question. Why does OMF need a finance team? Well, the purpose of OMF is to take the gospel to places and to peoples who have not heard it, to expand the church in those locations, plant the church, expand the church, and encourage others into mission. So that involves a lot of travel, personal support. So there's publishing to do, there's software apps to write. All these things take a lot of money. And that's got to be administered. So, yeah, we need a finance department.
Okay. Thank you. So where does the money come from? And who actually goes and spends it?
Okay, well, the money comes from donations. As I said, it's a charity. That means it's money that's given. And that comes from people like you, putting money into the offering bag or by standing order or a direct debit. Churches, individuals all over the world give money. So the money comes in many, many places, and it's going to be spent by supporting people, their living allowance, their travel expenses, all the publishing costs, building costs, etc., and also in many places. So that means we can't just have one great big bank account and you put money in here and money in here and money in here and pay out here and pay out here, because we've got to work in each country's currency, and we've got to do it according to local laws. And we've got to be sure that we don't do something that looks like money laundering. So we have a big system, and we have people administering that system. And I've got a little video that I'll show you in a minute, which actually just graphically shows you what we do. So that's why we need a finance system.
Okay, so we need a finance system. So tell us a little bit more about what the finance team do, and then also what you individually do, or did.
Okay. Right. Obviously, the team needs to do the work of sending money to people's bank accounts, paying checks, receiving donations, paying those into banks. So that's the actual work, and it's done actually on a system that's like an internal bank account, banking system. So we're all working on computers, we're emailing people, we're talking on Skype to people. So it's a lot of personal interaction. It's not just about pushing numbers across computer screens. So, because these people need support as well in what they're doing, and sometimes a conversation about money will change into a conversation about what their needs are, how they can be prayed for.
Great stuff. Thanks, Al. Thanks. So I know that finance isn't your only sort of area of interest and what you were up to while you were out in Thailand. So I know that you've been involved in Businesses Mission, or BAM. And I've heard a bit about that myself, but maybe other people haven't. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure, yeah. So traditionally, the gospel has been taken to places in different ways. Think back 200 or so years, John Wesley rode around the UK on horseback preaching at village greens. We don't do riding on horseback anymore. I can't ride a horse. But we do things that are appropriate. So for many, many centuries, medical work and education have been used by Christians to show the love of Christ, to explain the gospel. That changes as well. 60 years ago, OMF opened a hospital in central Thailand because there was a distinct need in a rural area for a hospital, not a leprosy. Now, 60 years later, that hospital is not owned by OMF more. We don't need to do that. Thailand has risen. It's got world-class hospitals. People go to Thailand to have operations done quickly. So that vehicle has changed, but there is still need to reach people. There are people suffering from AIDS everywhere in the world, and world-class hospitals sometimes don't reach them. And businesses can take the gospel into places that a charity can't, interestingly, because you can get an access because you've got relationship with people. So I've got a couple of examples. I have a guy called Andrew with an accountancy business. Andrew, before he became a missionary, was an accountant in another country. So he's doing, as part of his mission service, what he had been trained to do professionally. Another example is that John, a mad, mad mountain biker, think of David, where's Dave? Dave Gordon. Think of mad mountain bikers. Now think of John. John loved mountain bikes, but he felt called to go and serve as a missionary. He's gone, and he's actually working in a Muslim context. So that means you've got to be very careful about speaking openly. It's also a country where you need a visa to get there. As he was there, he found that this country is quite a well-off country, lots of spare cash in the society, lots of leisure time, lots of leisure pursuits. Oh, I could run at a bike shop. So now John owns a bike shop business, and that is a vehicle, excuse the pun, for the gospel.
Great, thanks, Alan. And you're, just to finish off, you're, in terms of BAM, your own specific, what you got involved with, how did you fit into all of that?
Yeah, I forgot that bit, yeah. People need relationship. So imagine being out in the sticks and running a cafe. Now, where do you get your friendship, your fellowship? Where do you get your supplies? That stuff all needs coordination. So we have a unit of providing business support to people. And my role is to be the coordinator of that unit.
Great. Thanks, Alan. Thanks very much. You said you were going to show a little video. Yeah? So we need to shuffle off our seats again. So let's all walk that way. No, the chairs are great. We'll leave them there.
now, put your hands together.
Now exactly what Alan's been doing for the last 8 years. I'll test you later. I'm going to turn to Lorna now. But just as a way in, they wrote me this question and Alan read it to me and I said I'm not going to read it out like that. Because you remember when Russ came and talked to us before Christmas, and I think it was before Christmas, and he was encouraging us to bake or cook or something like that. And he said something which got everybody's backs up. Yeah, he suggested that the men could get the ladies to do it or something like that. And the question, it says this, so Lorna, we've heard Alan's been busy. Have you been at home preparing his meals? And I said, I refuse to read that question out like that. Otherwise, I'll be in the same boat as Russ. We could bond together, Russ. So I'm going to say, Lorna, I know that you don't sit on your hands and do nothing. So what have you been up to?
Okay. So Alan's mentioned there's this support team. I've been coordinating the support team, which includes not just finance, although that's very important. It's personnel. It's children's education. It's health. It's recruitment. So we have teams of people who are specialists in each of those areas, and they provide the support to members in terms of visa, in terms of are you equipped to do what you're doing in this place, in terms of language, learning language and culture. So they provide that. And just to give you an example, you know, if one of you, a couple here with a family maybe, decided, you heard God calling you to a remote place, you'd go there obediently. You would need help to learn the language and culture. You would need a visa to be able to live there. You might need skills to do what you're going to do. We have a school that actually teaches English and IT. Well, you might be an IT expert, but you might never have taught. So you might want to learn something about that. You might want to build your understanding of who you are in God in order to share that with them. So we help with that. So every package, if you like, of support is tailored completely personally, because every family is different, every individual is different. You could be single, you could be in a city, you could be up a mountain, you could be on a plane, wherever. So it's very, very, very unique. Every person is very unique. So this team has to work together. The finance and the personnel need to work together. The kids' education might be advising about what school might suit your home country's curriculum best. So when you go back home, what will mesh well? Might actually be giving you advice about how to educate your child at home and homeschooling. You may be talking to recruitment about having a short-term team to help you with a summer school, or you might be talking to them about, can you recruit somebody to come and live with us to help me with the homeschool? You might be talking about medicine and an illness you're suffering, and it might be, oh, you can buy that over the counter in the chemist in this country, or no, you can't buy Codamol under any circumstances in Thailand. It's a dangerous drug. Hard luck if you like Codamol. Or you might be actually saying, no, you need a medical evacuation. So very varied, very busy.
Wow. Wow, and you managed to keep your head around all of that. That variety, yeah?
Well, one of the privileges of working abroad is you work with an amazing team of people who are all totally committed to the same end as you. And no, it's not always easy, and we have to find the easiest way. Sometimes we use IT, sometimes we work through people traveling. We do whatever we can to get the help there at the time, but we're all working on the same task with the same goal, to support these people so that they can reach out and share God's love to others.
Great stuff. I visited you in Chiang Mai. I know that's an amazing place. So tell us something about the extraordinary places and what it's like to sort of, I don't know, travel and be involved in some extraordinary places.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I would say I've been doing an ordinary thing, you know, emailing and contacting people in an extraordinary place. But to live there, you do have to learn the language and know a little bit about the culture. And that is just hard work. There's no short way to learning a language. I mean, a few people are very exceptionally gifted at language, and that, God bless them, but he didn't bless me. And sometimes you just come home and your head hurts. But the wonderful thing is, when you're learning a culture, you get the opportunity to ask all those questions you'd like to ask people, but you can't. You know, it's too rude or too... Why do you go to the temple? Oh, I go to make an offering to make sure I'm going to be going to heaven. Oh, I follow Jesus, and the Bible tells me I'm fully accepted. My sacrifice is given already. I'm just part of the family. So you get that opportunity. It's wonderful. You get the opportunity to work with these amazing international team, and you can spend a lot of time exploring the different uses of English in all the Canadian, American, Australian and New Zealand versions of English. Oh, I'm Filipina version of English. But what we do as well is we support each other to try and reach out to our neighbours, because we've got neighbours there as well. What we get the fun of actually telling them the gospel for the first time. We get the fun of, like, making biscuits in Christmas characters, you know, get the nativity out of biscuit and have them decorate the biscuits and tell them the story as they're doing it. And we get that real privilege, and it's just amazing. There are low times, and when the low times come, they are very low, and they are very lonely. When your family is sick on the other side of the world, you really feel a long way away. You feel like, right, put it all down, I'm going to get on a plane, I'm going to go. And when, after my mum had died and I was grieving her, I actually got pneumonia, and I was very low, and I was very lonely, and I was quite sick as well. So I was laid up in bed for a while, and I just used the opportunity to read my Bible, and I read through the Psalms, and God really presenced himself with me in that, and he just did something amazing. I mean, there was nothing I could do. I mean, I was getting out of breath going to the loo. You know, I lived in a bungalow with an ensuite, for goodness sake. But God moved my understanding of how much he loved me from here to here, while I was sick and low. And that made that bad time and hard time a real treasure that I'll treasure forever, simply because I was there at that time and he met me in my need and gave me something good. So he is.
He is good. Thank you for sharing that personal story. Jim, I think you have one last question for Lorna, is that right?
Yeah, thank you. I mean, it's great hearing this. It's just fascinating hearing about this and the other partners and all the global stuff. But, Lorna, what if I'm like most people? My primary calling is really to Chester. I feel God's called me to be family on mission. That's the normal thing, family on mission, where I am in Chester. How do I then link into this global thing? How do I fit that together? Or is that just for a sort of a few fanatics or something?
Well, I think what Andy started with is really important, that it's God's heart that we're all on mission, and he gives us all a family and a context. Mission is everywhere in everything. It is here, it is out just next door in the next county or in London, and it's in the world. But God's got a specific call to us as an individual to do something and be part of that mission. And it may be something quite here, always here, never going anywhere else. A few are called to go, but we're all called to be involved in some way. And I want to just give HBC a bit of a thumbs up, a big thumbs up, for the way that they do support mission and they support us. And that's good on you. But I'm also going to give you a challenge. I'm going to show you a little video of some ways that you can think about that you can use here, you can use in the country, or you can use to support world mission. And just think about that while you watch this video and think about what your God's asking you to do.
Thank you, Lorna.
We were just really astonished. Wow, this is a missionary life. Like, in my mind, I had envisioned missionaries would be running around hustling to different places. But just seeing Wayne and Angela, a lot of their time was spent praying, waiting upon God to open doors. And I think for me, that really surprised me.
In fact, our finances that time, it was not possible to send a missionary couple out into the missions field. And we calculated that if we were to send them, it would practically cost us all the resources that we had. But the leadership then decided that we will send a missionary couple, and that's how missions work started.
There was this writer and publisher who went. At first, they weren't really sure how can they contribute. They even asked, oh, is a writer or an editor or publisher even necessary in a mission field? And we say, of course, why not? Ever since then, they've been writing the newsletters, bi-monthly newsletters for our missionary in Thailand.
Okay, I think learning to trust is a Christian's nature. Because it's already God's will in itself. 神都透過俾日本嘅負擔我啦，咁我就去繼續即係針對去日本點樣去做一個跨文化嘅福音工作。
We meet once a month, and we are either Skype chat with a missionary to find out their latest prayer points.
Other 20 once a day just have no churches.
Or we go through all the newsletters that have been sent for that month. And we will pray for each of the missionaries individually through those newsletters. At the end of the night, we end with prayer for each other because we see ourselves as a community, as brothers and sisters in Christ.
We saw on that six ways that can become involved in mission. Can we remember them? that was my ad lib because I thought it wasn't coming. I was a bit worried. Oh, it's gone. Okay, I'll have to do something else. I can't remember them. Perhaps you can. Okay. So I said before to Jim how HBC is actually very good, and many of you are involved in doing some of these things already. And I'd like us just to share amongst ourselves and people to share what they've been doing as you all think about, well, is God asking me to do something fresh in one of these areas?
Anybody? Shall I pick on something? Penny.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. This has been really interesting. Something really lovely has happened in our mission community recently. Many of you will know Sarah, who was part of HBC for just over a year, and she had become a believer at her university. But she then, as part of our mission community, brought other international students into our fellowship. And recently one of them, a girl called Mei Ling, has come to faith, having been introduced by Sarah and then having journeyed with us. So we're thrilled by that. She has just gone back to the Far East this week, and through a contact of Lorna's, we're going to be able to connect her with a Christian fellowship in Singapore, where she lives, so that she'll have a family there to come alongside her as a new Christian.
Thanks, Penny. That's a great story. That's welcome. So anybody else want to talk to another of the topics? Thank you.
Hi, yeah, my mission area isn't in a far-flung place. It's I do street pastors in Chester. I also volunteer at the Leeds Rock Festival with Festival Angels, which is a similar thing to street pastors, but you're working with lots of young people and just demonstrating the love of Christ. You're not proselytising. You are just demonstrating to them that by helping them, by being there for them, by taking them to first aid, just generally taking care of them. And with Festival Angels, it's not everybody who works is a Christian. So I've also had a good opportunity to share faith when I've been working alongside somebody. Not me necessarily telling them directly, but asking them what they think, and then telling them about my faith. And yeah, it's not in the far-flung areas of the world, but it's at home, and it's valuable work.
Thank you very, very much. So that's a go. Anybody else want to have a suggestion of another one? Thank you, Fran. Make sure I don't fall down the holes as I run around.
I'm almost embarrassed to say how I've supported Alan and Lorna because it's so minuscule, but Lorna messaged me yesterday and said, would you share? And I just feel really humble because it's just a privilege to serve God. And quite often you can just think you've done the smallest thing, but actually we serve a God that's a God of detail. And if it matters to you, it matters to him. So Alan and Lorna just have really big hearts to serve people, care for people. I just have the utmost respect for people who are willing to literally sacrifice everything, and it is a sacrifice. It is costly to go on mission. And I can't remember whether I was approached directly or whether it was in the news sheet, but basically they had some people who wanted to track their progress and support them but weren't able to connect with computers to get an email from people. So I think there was just like half a dozen people who really wanted to be kept in touch with Alan and Lorna, and so they just were looking for someone who would receive their newsletter, print it off, post it out, and just keep these people in the loop. Some were family, some were friends, and it was just incredible. It was just such a privilege to do it. Every month I could feel the excitement coming each time I received the newsletter, reading what they were getting up to, seeing how God was using their talents, abilities. Just every part of your life is not wasted. Sometimes you think, why am I doing this? But it was just incredible to see everything that they had invested and served with God, and how he was then using that to benefit others. And that's how the kingdom works. We all just, it doesn't matter how big your part is, you just have to play your part. And I found it really heartwarming, and especially when I would get the newsletters and there would be personal requests, for instance when Lorna's mum was unwell or something, you know, I just remember falling to my knees and just crying out to God for them, saying, yeah, they're doing this for you and it's so costly, they've got families, they've got loved ones, and they've literally given it all up for you. So for me personally, it was just such a privilege to do such a small thing, but actually to see God's hand in all of that, and to know that actually he cares about that detail. And just to be able to feed back to these guys, we have prayed for you, and not just be saying we're praying for you, we're right behind you. We can't all physically be over there, but the power we have with prayer, encouragement, just sending them an email out of the blue. You know, just imagine being in a foreign country and having a really low day and somebody just sent you that email. And we can all do that. It takes minutes out of your day.
Thank you very much. Wow, that's really humbling to hear. Yeah, so I think we've got somebody going to talk on. Right? Moira, right? You're up there. Yeah, so thank you very much, Fran. Thank you, Moira.
a bit nervous about this, but anyway, I'm going to take this opportunity to let you know that the end of next month I'm going back to Orgavine, where Russ and Leslie have done quite a lot of work, and I'll reconnect with the Good News Foundation out there, with friends there and in the school, and also the pastor of the Gypsy Church, which has gone through a bit of an issue, or a bit of a slump, and is I would see what we can do to support them in the next village. So we're actually flying out on the 28th of March and not coming back till the 1st of April. And if Brexit happens on the 29th, we have to hope they'll let us back in. But if you want to know any more about the Good News Foundation or Orgavine, you can speak to me, speak to Russ and Leslie, speak to Rona, Rosie, Joy. There's a few of us have been out there. And I'm going to be a little bit selfish and just ask if you pray particularly for my friend Nikki, because over the times we've been over there, she came close to the Lord and she made a commitment, and she seems to have lost faith as well. So I really have a heart for reconnecting with her and seeing if we can encourage her to find the joy that she found and has lost, if that's okay.
Thank you, Moira. Thank you very much. And I think we've covered most of the points except learn, and I picked on Gail for that one. So, Gail, can I tell you, I cheated and asked her, but Gail's going to tell us about something she's going to do to learn something. So over to you, Gail.
I believe there's a slide, is there? I love going to conferences. You get to worship with loads and loads of people, and you get to learn. Often the conferences are very biblically based. This is going to be one where you're learning because you're hearing stories of what people have got up to. People that have heard God, they've followed what he said, even though it might be hard or dangerous or out of their comfort zone. And you hear stories of how God stepped in and provided time and time again. George Furwer in the top left, he's with Operation Mobilization, and he's been doing this for years and years. Even Jim as a boy went on a George Furwer mission, and it was like, go, you can't have any money, there's a petrolless car, just trust God. And even Jim will tell you stories of how God just steps in time and time again, and how that encourages our faith to pray for others and maybe to do things ourselves as well.
There's opportunity for us all to go. So there's flyers on the table over there. There's other cards on the table. There's information. All of it is free except one little booklet for which we are selling. So please go and help yourself. So over back to Lorna for a couple of words. Oh, it's me. Sorry. Oh, dear. Right.
I'm going to bake the
cakes. Yeah, so we've actually covered all these things before, but so we really want to say some of these things may seem big things, impossible. Well, in our own strength, they are impossible, but it's God's heart that we walk with him in mission. So whatever our circumstance, he has something for us, and he will bless us as we get involved. Whether that is to go or stay, to learn or pray, to mobilize and send. Wherever he may send us, your community, your city, your county, your country, this continent or other continents. It's good they're all seas, isn't it? Will you ask God, what should I be doing and where? And then get going. Thank you.
Hey, let's give these guys a round of applause. I thought it was really interesting. So lots of information, stuff just to stimulate our thinking and our own response. So we're going to just move into a little bit of worship as a response, really, particularly to how Alan ended that time with those questions, and just to use those questions as a means of just thinking and praying as we sing. So, over to you, Judith, thanks.
Let's stand together.